And that's why I get so excited about prayer. And that's why I talk about prayer all the time, because people minimize their prayers and they couch their prayers and they're timid about praying. If you believe what Matthew 16, 18 and 19 says, you should never not pray boldly. What are you afraid? You're going to get embarrassed? You're going to embarrass God? It doesn't happen? I get. And that's what I said. I get it when it doesn't happen. It stinks when it doesn't happen. But God should not be chained by our prayers. So I just want to empower. Believe it. Live it. Claim it.
Hi, this is Holly, and welcome to Study with Friends, a Bible study community created to deepen your relationship with God through His Word, the Bible. If you miss any part of this program, or if you want to hear it again, you can download the podcast on iTunes or listen online at studywithfriends.org, where you'll also find listening guides and worksheets you can download to follow along. And sometimes we have bonus material there we don't have time to air on the broadcast. That's studywithfriends.org. This is part 4 of a series on prayer, which is a topic I hold really closely to my heart. Through struggles and loss, I grappled with the power of prayer and whether, in fact, prayer even matters in the big scheme of life. This particular session is loaded with teaching, so it's really helpful to have the homework in front of you if you can. You'll find that at studywithfriends.org, and you can search the series at the bottom of the page where there's a search box. Just type in prayer, and the series will come up, and all the worksheets and homework are there. Let's get started.
Now we're going to take it to the next level. I'm going to give you even more goosebumps. Look at this part of my body. Spend a lot of time right there. So in Matthew 16, we're going to deepen our understanding of that. So let's look at Matthew 16. We're only going to look at 18 and 19. Of course, this text follows Peter's confession of Jesus as the Christ. But embedded in Jesus' response is a commission to all of us. And as we study the original transliteration of the text, it speaks very clearly to our daily calling as warriors in the faith. My NIV translates 18 and 19 as, "And I tell you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not overcome it. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven." So if you pull out that worksheet that I gave you at the beginning, I want to make sure that I'm telling you this information in a way that's consumable, and also that we go through the worksheet together, which I don't have. The first, from the analogy, the garden analogy that I just, it's a little parable.
It was beautiful.
I just realized it was a little parable. Why do we pray? And the answer to that is God doesn't need us. So God doesn't need us, but He invites us. So the fill-in is God doesn't need us, but He invites us to participate in His plan because He loves us. Okay, so now I'm going to dive into. So I'm going to go back to verse 18. "And I tell you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not overcome it. I will give you the keys to the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven." Okay, a couple of keys from the original Greek really unlock a revelation for a present day application. First, in verse 18, we see two different translations of the word rock. Peter, Petros, this is your fill-in, which means a piece of rock, part of a bigger rock. So that's Petros. And so it says, "And I tell you that you are Peter, and he is the small part of the bigger rock." Okay. And on this rock, the second word is Petra, which means mass of rock, like a boulder or cliff. So in the original Greek, this would have been so much more easy for them to understand than it is for us, that Peter was part of a bigger rock on which Jesus would build the church. So Peter was a smaller part. We are a small piece of the greater church, a pixel in the big picture, if you will. Mm-hmm. So your fill-ins there, 2 and 3. Petros means part, a piece of rock, part of a bigger rock. And Petra means mass of rock, like a boulder or cliff. Jesus goes on to say in verse 19, "I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven," which would have been really well understood at that time. We don't really understand that contextually as well as they would have. But it was quite common for a king to give ruling power to another individual who would administer the day-to-day business of the kingdom. The original hearers would have understood that to mean we are stewards of the kingdom of heaven here on earth. So that's your next fill-in. We are stewards of the kingdom of heaven here on earth. That we have the keys to the storehouse. Like, you remember Joseph in Egypt? Same thing. He was the steward. Haman in Persia, do you remember? He had the keys. The king is the king, but he doesn't do the day-to-day. He's got like a general manager. And later, more appropriately, the keys to that kingdom were passed to Mordecai. But they served the same purpose. These were men who were stewards of the king's riches, of the king's kingdom. An interesting parallel in Genesis 41, Joseph had been entrusted with the keys to the kingdom. As we know, he had full authority to distribute the king's wealth from the storehouse during the famine. Do you remember that? And then his brothers came. But I have to make another, there's so much in scripture, you guys. We could stay here all weekend. Just bring a lunch next time. Joseph was not originally from Egypt. Haman was not originally from Persia. Mordecai was not originally from Persia. They were aliens in a foreign land. And I wanted you to write that down because I don't want to miss that as we apply it spiritually. So they were all aliens in a foreign land. But on the next page, it says they had the blessing of the king, which gave them authority in that kingdom. So write that down. I just so don't want you to miss that. So I'll say it again. They were aliens in a foreign land. You know, John 17 says, live in this world, but not of this world. Mm-hmm. But they each had the blessing of the king, which gave them authority in the kingdom. Is that resounding with any of you guys? Mm-hmm. Okay. Spiritually, you get where I'm going there, right? You smell what I'm cooking?
Smell it.
Okay. Reading on, the verse promises that, okay, now here's the tricky part. So first, I think you need to understand they were aliens. But they had the blessing of the king, which gave them authority in the kingdom. And so do we. So do we. Because Jesus said so in Matthew 16, 18 to 19. Okay? Not because Holly said so, but because I'm drawing this parallel from the Old Testament, but Jesus said so. The promise is, now this is the tricky part. It says, whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Here's what's tricky. Does that mean we have authority over heaven? The original Greek holds a better answer, and it's really pretty exciting. In the original Greek, the verb tense would more readily translate, you may bind on earth what has been bound in heaven. You may loose on earth what has been loosed in heaven. What God shows us here is so exciting, but before I tell you that, what does that sound like? On earth as it is in heaven, right? Mm-hmm. So I just got goosebumps again. I love the Holy Spirit. Okay, because I know I'm doing the right thing when he's goosebumping me. Mm-hmm. Okay, so, and I just love that he's never in contradiction. It's always, you can always see that he agrees with himself and his truth is always truth. So you may bind on earth what has been bound in heaven. You may loose on earth what has been loosed in heaven. Similar again to on earth as it is in heaven. And I want to keep making it because so many of us say the Lord's Prayer all the time. Mm-hmm. And I want you to just put a different spin on that. On earth as it is in heaven. That God is saying, I have this. Unleash it. On earth. It's already in heaven. In the storehouse, the silo. I picture like a big silo when Joseph was helping during the famine. The king has it. And it's our job to decide, are we just going to leave it stored up in there? Or are we going to open it up and give it to the people? So when you say on earth as it is in heaven, I just want to encourage you to start thinking, what do you have in heaven for us, God, that we can unleash on earth? All the promises of the Bible, all the things that you've said you want to do, that you will do for your people, the faithfulness, all of it. Are we just not opening the door? Let's open the door. Obviously, we don't have authority over heaven. So the way this original Greek makes much more sense. What you bind in heaven, you know, what you bind on earth is very, it's another place where you'd be like, I don't really understand that. I'm just going to keep reading. Mm-hmm. Of course, we don't have authority over heaven, but the original Greek is a touch of a different tense. I'm not exactly sure why Bible translators. I don't know. It's okay. The original Greek makes so much more sense. We know God plans to prosper us and not to harm us, Jeremiah 29:11. We know he wants fruit in our lives. Our lives should bear fruit. That's John 15:8. And that it's for his glory. We know that we're fitted perfectly in our time for good works, which he prepared in advance. That's Ephesians 2:10. So here in Matthew 16 comes the puzzle piece, like that brings it all together. It connects it all. God has a storehouse in heaven for each of us and those in our circle of influence. And we have the keys to the storehouse. Matthew 16:19 says, I will give you the keys. So I'm not making this up. Please question it. Don't just take it because it's awesome. Make sure you own it. We have the power to unleash, open the silo, and we pray in obedience to the word and will of God, and we're going to talk about how to do that, but we're empowered on earth to bind on earth what God intends from heaven should be bound, and loose on earth what God promises in his word should be loosed. Do you see what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. That's up to us. So yeah, we get in the garden, we have the relational, but then to the next level, guys. If you're in the word, if you're in the relationship, if you're walking with God, we do have power here. So never, ever, ever let your prayers just be, well, I'll just pray that, you know, because I know this is really just about the relational. Of course it's about the relational, but there's also power here. We have authority. And that's why this page almost just naturally opens up in my book, because it's life-changing. It's life-changing. And for me, mm-hmm. when I was like, why am I praying? First, he showed me that beautiful analogy. And then probably another 18 months later, I learned this. Mm-hmm. And I was like, okay, so not only did you just want to love me and have a relationship with me, you actually want to empower me. You want us to work together. You want me to unleash the things that you promise in your word. You want me to get on the page with you. I'm down with that. Let's do that. Mm-hmm. And that's why I get so excited about prayer. And that's why I talk about prayer all the time, because people minimize their prayers and they couch their prayers and they're timid about praying. If you believe what Matthew 16:18-19 says, you should never not pray boldly. What are you afraid? You're going to get embarrassed? You're going to embarrass God? It doesn't happen? And that's what I said. I get it when it doesn't happen. It stinks when it doesn't happen. But God should not be chained by our prayers. So I just want to empower. Believe it, live it, claim it, bind it, loose it. And we know that God stops short of forcing us. In the interest of our spiritual growth and the deepening of our relationship, we have to choose it. He'll get the plan done with or without us. Like Mordecai said to Esther, if you remain silent at this time, relief and deliverance for the Jews will arise from another place, but you and your father's family will perish. And who knows that you have come to royal position for such a time as this? Another perfect example of saying, you don't have to do it. God will figure it out. He's like, Esther, I'm thinking you're there because you're supposed to do this. And we are to be trusted with the keys to the storehouse. That's really huge, really huge. And we should take that seriously, but we should also take it exuberantly. Okay, and let me say this. There's nothing Satan would love more than for the power of our prayers to be diminished in our own eyes. But what wonders God has in store for us if we believe him. I think we should stop watering down our prayers, or worse, not praying for the big miracle because we're afraid it's not going to happen. Yeah. Like I said, there's nothing to be afraid of. You're not going to embarrass God. Don't worry about embarrassing yourself. You know, do I think I'm going to sound like some kind of wacko, like asking God for a miracle? Who do I think I am anyway, asking God for a miracle? I'm a child of God. That's who. With the keys to the kingdom. I'm going to ask. Mm-hmm. I'm going to ask. It's like my kids. Oh my gosh, my kids. They're going to ask. Mm-hmm. They know the answer. They're going to ask anyway. And sometimes I'll do it. I said, Gianna asks me almost every day, can I have a piece of chocolate? We got a bunch of chocolates for a gift when we had a gathering. And so every day she comes home and she's like, can I have a piece of chocolate? I'm like, no, do your homework, have a healthy snack. And then one day I was like, yeah. She was like, really? And I said, yes, you can. And she was so excited because I'm going to keep asking because sometimes my mom's going to say, yeah, because she's cool like that. So, okay, I just wanted, do you have questions about that? There's really no reason, you know, I always say God is just as inclined today to do miracles as he was in the early church. Mm-hmm. And we have no biblical reason to think that he's not. It's not he who's changed, it's us. He just wants to be huge in our lives, in the lives of the people we love. That doesn't always look the way we want it to look, but he wants to be huge. And how do we invite him more to be huge and believe more in his hugeness if we just pray these big prayers and say, God, I'm asking for a complete healing. I am asking for it. Mm-hmm. And I know you, because I know you can do it. So I'm going to ask you, mm-hmm. can I have the piece of chocolate? okay, now I want to do some talking about how we get on the same page with God. So we just talked about having the keys to the kingdom. The king is only going to give authority to like that to someone who knows his will and his ways, someone who's intimately in relationship with him, who he can trust. And so how do we become those people? And in that process, we increase our experience of God's word, our relationship with him. So we're looking back into the homework, and I want to teach you guys about scripture prayer. I'm sure there are better ways to do this. This is just how I do it. But there are three ways that I will take a scripture and create a prayer. And that's how I know that I am on the same page as my Lord, and that I'm not asking for something that's completely off base. So there are three ways that I do that. First is called petitioning. I find a scripture that works with what I need to pray. And we're going to do that in a minute. I offer the scripture as a petition to God. For example, this is 2 Timothy 1:7. God, please show me that you did not give me a spirit of fear, but a spirit of power, of love, and a sound mind. Help me to see how you would live that promise in my life. So I'm taking the scripture. I'm embracing that he means it, that he meant what he said. And I'm saying, please help me make that happen. Or please help this person make that happen, or that person, show this person that. We said before, I think we turned the mic on, the Ephesians prayer, that they would know how deep, how wide. So that's what I call petitioning God. I'm saying, God, here's what you did in the Bible. Do that here in this situation. Sometimes a lawyer will use precedents when they're making an argument to the judge. They'll say, here's what they decided before in law. Mm-hmm. So we want that here. That's what we want you to do again. And I think God honors that, because we're saying, God, this is what you did before. I'm asking you to do that here and now in this situation. The second one and they're all closely related, but the second one I call drop in a name. So in some cases, you may want to take a scripture and just drop the name in of the one you're praying for. And this is the Ephesians one. For this reason, I kneel before the Father, from whom his whole family in heaven and on earth derives his name. It's Ephesians 3:14-21. I pray that out of his glorious riches, he may strengthen me with power through his spirit in my inner being. And so I'm just changing the pronouns. Mm-hmm. Now, do I think it's a good idea for us to change scripture? No, I do not. But what I'm doing is I'm just taking it out of the general vague and making it. And for this reason, I kneel before the Father. I pray that out of his glorious riches, he may strengthen Greg. Mm-hmm. That's okay, because it's the same. We're just we're putting a person in instead of a pronoun. That's all. And never change scripture. Revelation, the last line of Revelation, warns us all not to do that. Do not do it. But what I'm suggesting is that you just make it more personal by using the name, or putting your own name, or asking me, would you show me for me? Mm-hmm. So it's really important. We're not changing scripture. We're just making it more personal. Another example of this is Philippians 1:6. I am confident of this. So it says, being confident of this, Paul was speaking about himself. But I can embrace that and say, I am confident of this, that he who began a good work in Amy will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. I am confident. Right. And Paul said he was confident to the reader that God would do that for you. I can be confident that God would do that for Kay. Right? Okay. And then the third one is choose a scripture that speaks in some way to the prayer you wish to offer. Take the passage word for word and repeat it out loud. And we did cover in a previous series the difference between spoken word prayer and prayers that's just thought. So if you didn't do that session with us, it's worth going back to. I do strongly believe in speaking verbally. When we pray, even when you're by yourself or in the car and people think you're crazy, that's okay. You know what? Just put your Bluetooth on your ear. They'll never know. Or you could put a sign in the window that says, yeah, I'm praying right now. And judge
feel
me.
Free to watch.
Yeah, it's okay. Would you like me to pray for you? Pull me over. Honk if you'd like me to pray for you. So one of my favorite in times of struggle is 2 Corinthians 4:8. Oh, you guys. And I say, I am hard-pressed on every side, but not crushed, perplexed, but not in despair, persecuted, but not abandoned, struck down, but not destroyed. And that is just straight up. I am claiming it. I didn't change it. I just said, that is what's happening, and I'm holding fast to that word. Another one that I didn't write in here, but I use, is Micah 7:8. Do not gloat over me, my enemy. Though I have fallen, I will rise. Though I sit in darkness, the Lord will be my light. I just say it. And I claim it. I internalize it. So I didn't tweak it to personalize it. It already was, the Lord will be my light. And that's just claiming it. Claiming is, you know, some people say, for God did not give us a spirit of fear, but of love and power and sound mind. You could also do that with a person, though. You could say, God did not give Sophia a spirit of fear, but of power, of love, and a sound mind. So you could petition, you could drop in a name, or you could claim that verse. That's a good one. A few weeks back, we discussed the importance of memorizing scripture, which obviously I feel like is also super important. And we're driving down the street, Brittany, or we're having that all day, every day experience. What better way to get on the same page with God than if it's in your heart already, it's in your mind. And I'll just say again, don't be intimidated by memorizing scripture. I'm telling you right now, I can't remember what I had for lunch yesterday. Mm-hmm. Sitting here, trying to think about it. Have no idea what I had for lunch yesterday. I'm sticking with that. I don't even know. Sometimes if I don't look down, I don't remember what I'm wearing. But I remember scripture because God wants me to. It's for his glory that I would. So he blesses that process. So even if you're like, oh my gosh, I'm terrible. My memory's terrible. I don't have memory skills. And you're like, oh, Holly, you must have a great memory. I do not. But when it comes to this, I've been intentional and God has blessed that. That's all. That's all you have to do. Just show up and he will water it and he will grow it. And so that gives you an opportunity in so many more situations to speak into it, God's words, not your own.
Right.
So let's do our workshop. For the workshop, I'm pulling up the book, Where to Find It in the Bible, and it's edited by Ken Anderson, and it's an awesome resource and I love it. But also most Bibles in the back have a concordance. Now, Where to Find It in the Bible is topically based. I'm flipping it open. Here's a heading that's called health. Now, the word health may not appear in that scripture, but it speaks to health. In your concordance in the Bible, typically, some Bibles, in fact, I think Life Application has topical concordance, but my NIV study only has a word concordance, which means if you look up health, it's only going to give you scriptures that actually have that word in it. And both are useful in different capacities. So what we're going to do is we're going to come up with a few prayer concerns, and then we're going to noodle through how to find a good scripture verse to apply to that. And then we're going to decide, we're going to write out a prayer for that. That's a scripture prayer. And so if you guys have some prayer concerns that you want to lob into the group, we'll workshop it, and hopefully we'll walk away with not just a theoretical understanding of what I'm saying, but really something we can use practically. Like, tell me exactly what you want to have happen, and let's figure out how to ask God for that specific thing. Because you see what I'm trying to draw is a different picture than saying, please heal this person.
Right.
Why does God ask us to pray if he's just going to do what he's going to do anyway? Whether you're a longtime believer or brand new to the idea of faith, this is a pressing question. Stay with us for the entire series, and if you miss any, please go to the website or iTunes to catch up. Now more than ever, we really want to hear from you in the comment forum we've set up at studywithfriends.org. This is an important topic, and we want to wrestle through it with you. See you next week. Next week, we will continue our workshop. Meantime, write down some prayer concerns of your own. Let's weave them into what we're doing. I think you'll find the scriptures we look up will speak to some of your prayers. If you need to catch up with us, don't forget you can do that online or on iTunes. Or if you'd like the entire series on CD, we'd love to send it to you for a donation of any amount. Please visit studywithfriends.org/donate for giving options. Study with Friends is a listener-supported program, and we're kept on the air by your faithful prayers and financial support. That's studywithfriends.org/donate. We believe in the importance of your local church. If you don't regularly attend Sunday services and a small group Bible study, please find one. Be discerning. Make sure the church is teaching the Bible every week and in every small group situation. See you next time on Study with Friends.